Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus said, if you lean on me, Jesus said, you can lean. If you're just
Good morning. Welcome to Mount Carmel International Sunday morning service. I am your host, Pastor Keeping It Real McNeil. I will be sitting in for the great, great Dr. Carolyn McNeil. Amen. She has been blessed and honored today. The Lord has given her grace and favor to allow her to relax and to enjoy this beautiful day that he has set aside for all the mothers, all the queens. I don't care if you're in Istanbul, China, Jamaica, Africa, Israel, around the corner, up the block, down the street. Happy Mother's Day to each and every mother from us here at Mount Carmel International Church. Amen. Glory to God. And just have to, you know, sometimes you just have to do what you have to do. And like Jesus said, I have to be about my Father's business. Amen. No matter what else is going on. But once again, we like to bless all the mothers and thank you all for giving us life. Amen. Thank you for going through the swollen ankles and the not feeling so good and not looking your best all the time. And we just want to thank you for taking on that burden. We thank you because if you didn't do it, we wouldn't be here. I don't care what man says. If you wouldn't have went through what you went through, we wouldn't have been here. Amen. And I thank you for that from the bottom of my heart. Let me open up with prayer. Father God, we thank you for what you have done on today already. We thank you for your grace and your mercy, Father. Father, we ask you to forgive us if there's anything we said, done, or thought of that was unpleasing to you. Please forgive us, Father, for our sins. Father, we ask you to bless those that cannot speak for themselves, Father, those who cannot come and stand in a gap for themselves. We ask you to look after them, Father. Look over them, Father. Cover them, Father, with your grace and your mercy, Father. Show them the way. Send someone their way, Father, to be a blessing to them today, Father. Send someone their way to show them and lead them unto you, Father, so they can also know how good and wonderful it is to be saved. Father, we send up our hands to you and praise you and worship you and glorify you because you deserve all the honor and all the praise, God. There's none like you, and we thank you for what you've already done. If you never do another thing, we thank you, and we've said this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Once again, bless all the mothers on today. Amen. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, hallelujah. A special shout out to my mommy, Annie McNeil. Hello. Glory, glory, glory to God. I won't be with you long today. I'm going to be in the book of Genesis, and we're going to read some scriptures, and we're just going to bounce around the book of Genesis. And if you bear with me, believe me, there's some substance to this Mother's Day meal today. Amen. The title, if I would put a title on this subject this morning, it would be My Word is My Bond. Hallelujah. My Word is My Bond. The very first scripture I'm going to read is the book of Genesis chapter 11, verse 30. Amen. And then we're going to go to verse 12, and we're going to go to, chapter 12, and then we're going to go to chapter 15, and then we're going to go 16 and 17. But I won't be long, and I'm not reading the whole scripture. Amen. But in chapter 11, verses 30 says, and Sarai was barren. She had no child. Amen. Keep that in mind. Amen. Chapter 11, starting at verse 1. Now the Lord has said unto Abraham, community, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. Sometime God is telling you to get from where you are. Sometime God even sends someone your way to say, let's go, let's move. And if you know you hear from God and you know God is speaking to us, we have to move and trust that God will keep his word because his word is his bond. Amen. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Sometimes God is moving us to be a blessing for someone else. Sometimes God is moving you off of this job to another job to be a blessing to someone else. God is taking you from this apartment to a home to be a blessing from someone else. Sometimes you've been living in a community for 40, 50 years and don't want to go. And God say, now pack up and move. Because believe me, God has a plan. God has a promise that he has to keep. And when he asks us and tells us to get up and move, we should move and trust and believe in his word. Amen. Glory to God. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in these shall all families of the earth be blessed. Ain't that something? Because of Abraham and his obedience, all of us should be blessed. And we have to believe and know that we are blessed by the Most High God. No matter what our circumstances or situations look like, we are blessed. We have to walk in the blessing. We have to seek God for the blessing, the instructions, and the directions. Amen. What is God saying for you to do on today? Amen. Where is God saying for you to move if he's saying for you to move? And if he's saying stay, don't move just because you want to move. What is God saying do? Amen. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old. He departed out of Haran, and Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substances that they had gathered and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. They was doing ministry there. God blessed them so much that he gave them enough room to take the souls with them. See, God is even taking the souls, allowing the souls to come with us. Their souls is always connected to ministry. Amen. Always connected to ministry. Hallelujah. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. Amen. Now, I'm going to jump down to verse 12 where it says, therefore, it shall come to pass when the Egyptians shall see thee that they shall say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. Now, that part really, you know, when Abraham and his wife was going into the Egyptian land, and for some reason fear came upon his life, and he said how good she looked, that she was beautiful and lovely and gracious, you know, just to look upon. And he told them, if they ask who you are, tell them you're my sister, which almost got the king into a situation with God. But because God knew the heart of the king, and we're going to get into that in a few minutes, I'm just trying to set a platform so everyone can see the picture. Amen. And we have to remember, because when God makes generational promises, they're called generational promises, from generation to generation to generation to generation, all the way down to us. We're still part of the inheritance of Abraham. We're Abraham kinfolk. That promise, those promises still fall upon us. That grace still falls upon us. Amen. Because God remains forever true to his word. And when we read this scripture, this passage, it's almost like an acid test of the fact that these promises to Abraham set the stage for the rest of the Bible and salvation's history. And amazingly, even though generations after generation of Abraham's descendants violated God's revealed will, some of us are still violating God's will. Amen. We're still violating God's will. But guess what? He never withdrew his promises. See, God disciplines his people sometimes severely. When that severe discipline falls on you, it is in an effort to protect us from our own destructive behavior. We know we have destructive behaviors. Some of us know we sneak and drink. We sneak and smoke. We sneak and do things that we're not supposed to do. We sneak and do things that is not in God's lineup for what God has for our lives. We are sometimes walking on a destructive path, and sometimes God has to step into it and discipline us with such a severe matter in effort to protect us from our own destructive behavior. But still, remember this, still his promises were evident in each generation and century upon century. God was faithful and still is faithful to his promises all the way through the life, the death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. God keeps his word. His word is his bond. Amen. I'm not going to keep you long, as I promised. Amen. Go with me to chapter 15. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Go with me to chapter 15. Chapter 15. We're going to start at verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceedingly great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold to me, thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. God is trying to convince Abram, like, listen, that is not your heir. If I promised you that I was going to give you a son, I'm going to give it to you. If God has promised you health, he's going to give it to you. If God has promised you a promotion, he's going to give it to you. If God has promised you a new home, a husband, a wife, whatever God has promised you, he's going to do it. But we got to get to the understanding that is in his time. And we got to ask ourselves, are we prepared for what God is trying to do? Are we getting in the way of what God is trying to do? A lot of time, God is trying to make moves, but we get in the way. God is trying to open or shut the door. He can't, because we still got our hand on the doorknob. So we got to get out of God's way. Amen. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. How many stars? Listen, have you ever looked in the sky at night and attempted to count the stars? Can you imagine? He had let him know that as many as stars is in the sky, that's how many children you will have. Nations and nations and nations. You will father, be the father over nations and nations and nations. And he believed in the Lord. And he counted it to him for righteousness. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give this land and to inherit it. Hallelujah. Let's go to verse 16. I'm just going to read chapter 1. And Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children. And she had an handmaid, an Egyptian whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, Behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee. Now listen. Listen. Go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarah. Now remember, God has just got finished talking to him. God has just got finished promising to him nations and nations of children. He just got finished promising, but for the sake of peace in his home. See, men, we get to this place where we want peace. And sometimes the woman, it's not that you're convincing us that we just don't want you to keep on trying to beat us down, because your solution has to be your solution. This is what you want. This is what you want. And we are here to please you. We are here to do our best to give you everything that your precious little heart desires. And because we do that, sometimes we forget what God says, and we do what we stop listening to what God said, and we listen to you, and now we become disobedient to God. We got to step back from now on and listen to what God said. And if your wife or your significant other is who she says she is, she'll have an understanding that I am, that you are listening to God. What God told you, honey, listen, God said we will bear children. Hold on. We're not going to take this step because this might mess up the whole plan of God. This might be something that we're not ready for. A lot of stuff might come out of this that has nothing to do with God. And we got to sit back and she has to understand that. And if she doesn't understand it, okay, she'll get over it because guess what? God will fill the gap. God will fix that situation. Because guess what? Even though he tried to get peace, and it said, and Sarah, Abraham's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian from Abraham, had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan. Now dig this, and gave her to her husband, Abraham, to be his wife. And he went unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was displeased in her eyes. She gave her a look like, wait a minute, what do you think you're doing? Because, see, now the reality done hit. That was not even the purpose. That is not even the way that that God is going to bless Abraham and Sarai at that time with the child. But she was so anxious, and she pushed and pushed and pushed. Now they got another situation. She rolled her eyes at the young lady. She's angry. Listen, and Sarai said unto Abraham, my wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom, and when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes, and the Lord judged between me and thee. But Abraham said unto Sarai, behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleases thee. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. Wow. They then went and set the lady up. Because she's the servant. She's just being obedient. She's just doing what was told of her. But once, ain't that something? Is it amazing how you could do something that someone asks you to do? You could be at your job and your boss asks you to do something, and even in the midst of doing it, and you did it correctly, and because you was obedient, when the whole thing turns around, they still upset with you. They're still mad with you. Because, see, what they thought it was going to be, it wasn't. So sometimes that's what God means about we have to suffer sometimes. Sometimes we just have to go through a few things. But guess what? It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. Amen. Verse 7 says, and the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way of Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarah's maid, whence camest thou? And whither would you go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarai. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress and submit thyself under her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thee seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. Ain't that something? Go back to those wicked stares. Go back to that verbal tongue lashing. Go back to that person who you know makes you feel uncomfortable. Ain't that something? We have to go back sometime. See, God has a way even in going back. The angels gave her a promise. And the promise, oh my God, it was a beautiful thing because even her son got an inheritance. You see what I'm saying? Listen, even though the situation may look what it may look like, but if we don't trust God, we'll never see the outcome because we'll try to make our own outcome. Amen. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child and shalt bear a son and shalt call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. He hear your cries. He hear your prayers. He hear your screaming out, and he will be a wild man. Woo! His hand will be against every man and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, thou God seest me, For she said, have I also here looked after him that seeth me? Wherefore the well was called Beer Leica Roy. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bedrock. And Hagar bare Abram a son, and Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bare Ishmael. And Abraham was 80 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. Ain't that something? He was 64. He didn't have Isaac until he was 100. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 17, chapter 6 says, and I will make thee exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. Listen, those words let me know that there is greatness in everything that God has created from generation to generation to generation to generation. Listen, we got to start speaking and walking in who we are, kings and queens of the Most High God. We have to start walking in our wealth. We have to start walking in God's promise. We have to start walking in God's favor. We have to start walking in God's grace, walking with power, walking knowing who you are, knowing that you don't have to settle. Way back in the beginning, God said, I gave us, he gave this world to us. He gave this everything to us. He gave it to us. We are kings and queens. Amen. Hallelujah. We got to start knowing who we are and walking in whose we are. Amen. Who do you really belong to? Do you belong to yourself? You just don't belong to your mother and father. We belong to the Most High God. Amen. And we have to remember that. God has given us dominion over the earth, every foul thing that flies, every creepy thing that walks, everything that's in the sea. God has given us dominion over all. Amen. Verse 7 says, and I will establish a covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee and their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee and land, the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Everywhere we go, and everywhere we follow God, the people who follow us, trust and believe in what we speak and do, will follow our God. That's why it's so important that we walk upright, that we do not allow our testimony to be tainted. That's why it's not, we have to walk upright. We have to speak a certain way. We have to love. We have to walk in kindness. We have to walk in lovingness. We have to walk in joy, peace, understanding, no matter what is going on around us. We have to do it like Jesus, because they are watching and their souls connected and people are watching us. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to take an intermission and let you marinate on that, and we'll come back and do our best to complete this assignment.
Yes, I will. And I won't leave to mine own understanding in all of my ways.
You know, that situation is too big for you.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't handle that. You know what you need to do? You need to turn it over to the Lord right now. You need to find you a secret place. Turn it into an altar. Get down on your knees. Lift your hands. Open your mouth. Throw your head back. And just begin to call the name of Jesus. Call him Lord, so Lord, 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 Lord.
You that I trust, amen, glory to God, hallelujah. You that I trust, Father God. You that I trust and need, Father God. It's you that I must obey and I have an understanding and a relationship with God. It's you that I need. It's you that I need. It's you that I have to have. It's your wisdom. It's your divine understanding and power. It's your caring and your loving attitude. It's you that I need, oh God. Not so much as your things, but it's you. Not so much as a big car and a big house, but you. Because see, with God comes all good things. And, oh, God, it's you that I need. Hallelujah, glory to his name. I'm just going to recap over what we went through, if it's okay with everyone. Amen. Just in case someone missed something. Amen. 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 See, we have to remember that Abraham knew a thing or two about uncertainty, because in a culture where his family and heirs were highly valued, even a practical necessity, God asked Abraham to leave his home, his country, and everything familiar to him. Because, see, we got to remember, such uncertainties brought fear and stress, and it still brings fear and stress to people today. If God tells you to just up and move, there's going to be an uncertainty to why. But instead of us just saying, okay, Father, because he knows best, but we're human. So there's an uncertainty brought, and it's fear and it's stress. And how could Abraham find a new country, a new people? But for many years, he and his wife, Sarah, had also struggled with a painful uncertainty of infertility and childlessness. How would he be able to take care of himself and Sarah in their old age? Would they even make a suitable half or find a suitable place to live in this faraway land to which God was calling them? Remember, it's a place where God is calling you to go. It's a place where God is calling us to be. It's a place where God is saying move out to and trust him in. Because these particular questions that people throughout the ages have had to face day by day, especially those of you, those parents of you who have children with special needs, some have to relocate to have access to the best medical treatments. Others have left their jobs to serve at home, and all of them worry about who will care for their child when they're no longer able to, because some things may happen and we may not be able to. But in spite, I'm here to tell you, in spite of uncertainties, Abraham set out and went about the things of God by faith. When his moving caravan arrived in Canaan, God abundantly blessed his family as promised. But like many childless couples, Abraham asked, O sovereign Lord, what good are all your blessings when I don't even have a son? And we went through that in chapter 15, verse 2. And God answered with a promise of an heir. But none appeared. So at the urging of his wife, Abraham took matters into his own hand, like most of us do. I've been waiting too long. It ain't going to happen. Or somebody get in your ear, girl, you really think that's your husband? Look at that man. Man, that ain't your wife. But we just got to understand what God is saying. Amen. And when they took matters into their own hands of trying to have a child by his servant Hagar, this lack of faith brought suffering with repercussions, and we read about the repercussions felt even to this present day. Some things we do bring repercussions and suffering even to this day, passed down from generations and generations and generations. But now that we have a knowledge, we have to trust God for his provision. And know the things that God say shall come to pass. Amen. They shall come to pass in God's timing. Because, see, Abraham and Sarah conceived a son in their old age. Yeah, Isaac. Yeah, Isaac was conceived in their old age. He was a miracle child. He was the promised offspring through which these nations today of the world would be blessed through Isaac. The miracle child. Some of us have miracle children, and nations is going to be birthed from them if we speak life into them. and stop telling them they can't be this, they won't be that, you're never going to be nothing. We have to speak life. We have to speak love. We have to speak peace. We have to speak greatness until they will be fathers and daughters over nations, kings and queens over nations. They will be presidents and doctors and lawyers. They will be great for the Lord. They will be kingdom seekers, kingdom builders. We have to speak these things into their life. Even your next door neighbor who might have them bad kids, it is not our place to say them bad baby kids. No, bless them, Lord. Teach me the words to speak over those children. Let me start bringing them in my home and let them listen to me praying. Let me read little Bible stories to them, church stories to them. Let them hang out with my kids instead of degrading and beating them down. Speak life into that situation. Amen. Because remember, the lack of faith brought them a lot of suffering. But then God blessed them with Isaac. And his name means laughter. Know what your name means. Listen, look up your name and see how God has blessed you. That was one of the first things was ever taught to me when I first got saved. Find out who you are. And believe it or not, I couldn't stand my name. But it was, you know, it just wasn't hip. It wasn't cool. It wasn't a strong name. My name was Matthew, and I found myself, when people ask me my name, hey, man, that ain't my name, man. But when I found out what it meant, I rejoice in just knowing what it means. I rejoice in thanking God for giving me such a title and keeping it in my life. So I have to try to walk in who I am. That's what it means to walk in who you are. Know who you are. Find out who you are. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. I just feel good right now. Oh, my God. Isaac, whose name means laughter, was a miracle child. He was the promised offspring throughout which all the nations of the world would be blessed. So can you imagine Abraham's terror when God asked him to offer up Isaac as a sacrifice? The thought was utterly, oh, my God, can you imagine? Incompressible thought. How could the same God who had promised Isaac now take away the child who seemed to be the only means of fulfilling the promise? Abraham's agony at the prospect of killing his son. Bearable grief. How could there be a future afterwards? And yet with God, there is always a way. Because guess what? Abraham was prepared to act, trusting in God's faithfulness when a ram appeared in the thickening. If we go to chapter 22, verse 9 to 13, hallelujah. If you want to, just to verify, I want you to think I'm just saying things because I got lips. I want it to be the word, hallelujah. Hallelujah, glory to God. And when they, I started verse 8, chapter 22, verse 8, God will provide a sheep for the burnt offering, my son, Abraham answered, and they both walked on together. When they arrived at the place where God had told him to go, Abraham built an altar and arranged the wood on it. Then he tied his son Isaac and laid him on the altar, top of the wood. And Abraham picked up the knife to kill his son as a sacrifice. At that moment, the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. Yes, Abraham replied, here I am. Don't lay a hand on that boy, the angel said. Do not hurt him in any way. For now I know that you truly fear God. You have not withheld from me even your son, your only son. How much do we withhold from God? I'm not even going to get into that part. Oh, my God, you're supposed to pay your tithes and your offer. I'm not even going to get into it. You told them you're going to be there to clean the church. I'm not going to get into all that. You say you're going to be at choir rehearsal at 9. You don't make it to 9:45. How much of our time and ourselves do we give to God? Honestly, this man sacrificed the son that he waited till he was 100 years old to get, and he loved him so much, and then God said he wanted to take him. God said, that car is not yours. I got to take it back. You try to hide it in the garage. Like God can't get in the garage and get it. That is not your husband. Well, he got nice eyes. He got pretty hair. He got muscle. We're going to have fine babies. But listen, if y'all not equally yoked, y'all ain't going to have nothing but disaster. And I'm not saying every marriage and every wedding is going to be perfect, because we know through our history, God has to put trials and tribulations in our way to test us. But if God has called us to be together, we get through those trials and tribulations together. We get through those tests together. My wife said something to me yesterday. She said, honey, I just want you to know that I'm there for you, because God made me your helpmate. And if you're ever going through something, I want you to know that you can talk to me and I am there for you, because this is what we do. We do this thing together. And I said, yeah, baby, I hear you. And she went upstairs on her way, and I was down. She didn't even know it. I laid down here and said, Lord, thank you for this great woman that you have given me. Thank you, thank you, thank you that you didn't give me a disaster. You didn't give me a tidal wave. You didn't give me this purity. Not to say my wife ain't beautiful, but you didn't give me hips and lips and nothing else. She has a purpose. She has substance. Connect yourself to people who have purpose and substance, because these are God's people. And even the lost have purpose and substance. We just got to be the ones that God used to bring it out of them. Amen. Glory to his name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wow. You see how Abraham responded? Here I am. He was just as humble. And then Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught by his horns in the thicket. So he took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering in place of his son. Abraham named the place Yahweh. Yahweh, which means the Lord will provide. To this day, people still use that name as a proverb. On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. Ain't that something? Sometimes God asks us to sacrifice that thing to see if we do it, that thing or that person or whatever it is that we love the most. You know, even in fasting, a lot of times I've learned that it's not so much as not eating, but what am I giving up to God to show God I am willing to sacrifice this to get closer to you. I'm willing to sacrifice this to get more of you. I'm willing to sacrifice my time to spend with you. Living for God is a sacrifice. We can't always go bowling. We can't always go out with the fellas. We can't always be the places that the world is, because we have to spend time with God. We have to get closer to God. We have to know God. Hallelujah to his name. The uncertainty of the future was met with dramatic provision from God. But however, Abraham did not always act in faith. On more than one occasion, see that? Don't think you got to be perfect. On more than one occasion, he dishonestly concealed his wife's identity in an effort, I told you we're going to go back to that, to protect his own life instead of trusting God for his safety and protection. But despite his failures, Abraham is called the spiritual father of those who have faith. And if you think I'm lying, go with me to the book of Romans. I'm not going to keep you long. We're almost done. Hallelujah. Happy Mother's Day. We love you. We're thankful for you. We thank God that he even gave us woman. We thank God that he laid us down and put us to sleep and took Adam's rib and blew life into it. Because women, y'all are some of the most amazing, beautiful, loving creatures that God has ever created on this earth. And y'all at y'all most loveliest and beautifulest is when you're having a child. You probably don't know that, but most men that I've ever talked to who've had children with their wives and they've seen their mother and aunties pregnant, they say when their mother, that stomach, and to see her walk around still cooking, still ironing, still giving out instructions, still giving out directions, still taking care of the household, still being herself, no matter what, she's doing that. She's creating life, holding life, and speaking into life all at the same time. Man can't do that. We get confused after the first what? Just the thought of having to do the laundry, wash the dishes, clean the yard, fix the dinner, go downstairs, make sure the kids got it. We can't do all that. I mean, we can, but we just don't do it with the love that y'all do it. And then God may have raised up some single men that has been trained to do it all. I don't want to take no gifts and nothing from anyone who's really earned the privilege to say that they can. Amen. Chapter 14, verse 11 through 12 reads as such. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. Oh, how we love you, Lord. Oh, how there's none like you. Glory, glory, glory. So why do you condemn another believer? Why do you look down on another believer? Remember, we will all stand before the judgment of God, for the scriptures say, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bend to me and every tongue will declare alliance to God. Amen. Now, that scripture has nothing to do with what I was talking about, but as I was staring at it, it just stood out to me, and I apologize for that. Go with me to chapter 4, 11 to 12. Amen. Circumcision was in sight, that Abraham already had faith and that God had already accepted him and cleared him to be righteous even before he was circumcised. So Abraham is the spiritual father of those who have faith but have not been circumcised. They are counted as righteous because of their faith. And Abraham is also the spiritual father of those who have been circumcised, but only if they have the same kind of faith Abraham had before he was circumcised. Amen. And through it all, he learned to trust God and not to wait for his timing and purpose. He could not always see how God would fulfill what he had promised. And like the rest of us, he sometimes stumbled as a result of his clouded vision, his clouded mind. He sometimes stumbled, but Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. Amen. Romans 4:3. You don't have to go there with me. I'll read it to you. Amen. Glory to God. For the scripture tells us Abraham believed God and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. Remember, the title is My Word is My Bond. Word is his bond. But can you ask yourself this? Is your word your bond to God? Do you trust and believe everything God say and do what you say you're going to do for God, when you say you're going to do it, how you say you're going to do it? We tend to think of giants of faith as being somehow in a radically different category than we are. And yet so many of the struggles they face are the same dilemmas we encounter day after day. Infertility, fear, and uncertainty about the future. But when all is said and done, we too must believe God. We must believe God. We must believe God as we do. We follow to the footsteps of Abraham, the father of faith. Amen. God does not need us helping him out. He got it. He got it. I hope this word has been a blessing to you on this day. I hope that God is pleased with the assignment that he has given us. I hope that all are well on this day. I hope every mother enjoys. Listen, please don't hang up after this prayer. I want to just dedicate something to the mothers, because I say this often, and my wife would tell you, it's just something about you ladies who are, and not to take nothing from women who are not mothers, because you could be a spiritual mother. You could be an auntie. You could be still somebody's mother. You're raising the kids. You're feeding them. You're raising them. You're showing them how. You don't necessarily have to have the physical birth. A mother is a nourisher. Amen. A nourisher. And I was reading something about Moses that kind of, it made me see how important y'all are, because when the Hebrew woman was pregnant and she had the baby, and the king set out the decree to kill all the Hebrew boy children, and after she put him in the basket and put him by the water and everything, and she had the other daughter stand there and watch him, had the daughter stand and watch guard to make sure that, you know, he was got by the right. Because the first thing I read and understood by that. They say when the mother seen the child, she knew that he was a godly child. Ain't that something? She knew it immediately. We got to stop speaking negative stuff into our children's life. We got to give them a chance. We got to speak light. We got to pray over them, lay hands on them. We have to speak goodness. We have to speak the word of God over them. But anyway, she after she did that, and Pharaoh's sister, daughter, whoever she may have been, came and found the child. One of the maids seen her and said, "Did you want me to go get a nurse?" And she said, "No, go get the mother." Because one thing she understood, even though she wanted Moses and she wanted to be the Moses' mother, she did not have the power. She had the castle. She had all the land. She had all the prestige. She had all the power. She had all the money, the riches, and everything. But she did not have what it takes to nourish that baby to a certain point. She had to go back to get to the mother. The mother, she even had to pay the mother to nourish this child because she was not equipped. Women, y'all are equipped with things that only God has given you. Y'all are equipped with a nourishing, loving, kind spirit. Don't let nobody break you. Don't let nobody tell you you're less than who you are. Don't let nobody try to turn you into a harlot. Don't let nobody turn you into a punching bag. Don't let nobody tell you you're not great in Christ. Don't let nobody tell you you're not a leader in your church. Don't let nobody tell you you're not worthy to preach the gospel. Don't let nobody tell you you're not anything that God has not said you was. Because you are great in his sight and you are mighty in his sight, and you are powerful, and you is his treasure, and you are a treasure to many men and many children. We should treat you like this every day. It shouldn't just be one day. We should be reminded as men and women and children of God who the mothers really are. Amen. I'm not trying to, you know, I just wanted to express that because I want to encourage somebody today. Amen. Father, I thank you for what you allowed me to do today. I thank you for considering me for this assignment. Father, and I ask you to bless every mother, wherever they may be, Father. Bless them with peace. Bless them with wisdom on today. Bless them with joy. Bless them with grace. Bless them with gifts on today. Bless them with gifts of love. Bless them with good blessings of recognition. Bless them, Father, with your presence. Allow your presence to fall upon them on this day and cover them with a new anointing, a new direction, a new power, a new wisdom, a new love, a new wealth, a new grace. Let your love prevail in their lives. Let them not be in the backseat for no one. Let them be who you call them to be. Use them as you see fit. And anything and anyone that's in the way, I ask you right now in the name of Jesus to clear the slate, move them, shut their mouths. Do what you see fit in this day, in this time. We pray a prayer of boldness for your servants, the women's servant that you have called to use to do a work, to raise nations, to preach the gospel, to teach the gospel, to sing the gospel, to lay hands on the sick, to lay hands on the dying, to resurrect the dying, to lay hands on the blind, to lay hands on the deaf. Use them, God, to bring them to your kingdom. Use them to seek out the lost souls. Let their spiritual eyes see what man can. Let them hear, thus saith the Lord, and move by your power and your might. These things I declare and decree on this day. In Jesus' name I pray. Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to have this song dedicated to the ladies, the mothers.
Love and care for me.
No one else can be what you have been to me. You will always be, you will always be the girl in my life for all time.
Mama, mama, you know
like food to my soul. Chapter 3, verse 20 reads, "And Adam called his wife Eve because she was the mother of all living." Become the mother of the living. Amen. We want to thank you for joining Mount Carmel International Sunday service. I have been your host, Pastor Keeping It Real McNeil, and we will have the one and only Dr. Callum McNeil back with you next Sunday. Once again, we thank you for being supportive. We thank you for being here with us on this day. We thank you for just being a blessing. And if you want to get in touch with us, you can get in touch with us, mci2621@yahoo.com. We will answer questions. We will answer prayers. We will answer your prayer requests. We will play songs for you. We'll fellowship with you. We'll cry with you. We'll laugh with you. But most of all, we want to be a part of your life so we all can get to the kingdom of heaven together. Amen. Once again, thank you. Have a blessed Mother's Day. Have a blessed day. And love someone that you don't know today. Do something special for someone today. Be kind. Be like Jesus today. Amen. And God bless.